Catholic Conversations on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Catholic Conversations on Catholic Spirit Radio. I'm your host, Paul Garcia, and today it's my pleasure to be speaking with Dr. Pete Smoody, the author of books like Faithful Careers, Integrating the Catholic Faith and Work, and seven other books. And he's even written technical manuals for General Motors, if you can believe that. He's currently a professor and associate director of the School of Communication at Illinois State University. He's also a Knight of Columbus, a member of the Pope's Worldwide Prayer Network, and a leader for his parish's RCIA program. Today we'll be talking about all things faith and work and how to integrate the two. Dr. Pete, thank you very much for coming on today.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm pleased to be here.
Hey, the pleasure is all ours. So, in my research, I found that you have a degree in English and philosophy and a master's in writing and a doctorate in communication and rhetoric theory. You strike me as a deep thinker, so I'd like to ask, what types of things do you think about?
I'm constantly cogitating, so I'm not sure where to begin. But I think about a whole lot of stuff. You know, I think about the things that are going on in the world, probably more than anything. And how much I could really pray for and yearn for God's intercession. You know, help us with that. That's probably the single greatest thing that I think about. But I also think about other things too, because as an educator, I'm very interested in helping my students in their learning about the field in which I'm a specialist, which is public relations, but also organizational leadership. And I teach that in the School of Communication at Illinois State University. So I'm thinking a lot about that stuff and other things that are really important to my family and to myself in trying to grow and become a better person. Now, one of the greatest things I could, someone once recently asked me, what would you like to hear God say at your death? And it's very simple. Well done, my faithful servant. Come and enter the kingdom. And boy, that kind of goal for my life is really instrumental and important for me, because we can all be saints. And I think it's an error if we don't keep that in mind, along with the idea that, our time on earth is pretty fixed, but eternity is way longer. So let's keep it in perspective. And that's what my book is focusing on, is how to turn things that we have to do in the Lord's vineyard to give back on his investment. All those talents he's given us. How can we return the investment through what it is that we are and what it is that we do?
Spoken like a true writer, especially when you said the word cogitating. I've never heard that word before. I can assume what it means. But so you contemplate your death, it seems like. Mm-hmm. And you're a fan of Latin phrases, as am I. One of my favorites I say daily is memento mori. Mm-hmm. Remember your death.
Tempus fugit.
What does that one mean?
Tempus fugit means time flies. Memento mori means remember death. One of the other things that I do for myself and I'm very active in is Benedictine spirituality. I'm an oblate of Saint Benedict, and I'm part of the community at Saint Bede Abbey in Peru, Illinois. And I've been an oblate for, I think, about 9 years. And it's through that experience that I've been able to do a lot of connecting, because very cool is that the, I guess I'll call it a slogan for Benedictines, is ora et labora, which means prayer and work. And when I discovered that, because I was looking for some way to, I suppose, more spiritually include the Catholic faith and work, and this was more than 9 years ago, probably close to 13, that I was thinking of joining a third order. My grandparents were third order Franciscans, my grandparents on my mother's side. And I always thought that was really interesting, because I had no idea that existed. And so I started looking at different orders. And when I came upon Benedictines, and it said work and prayer, I was like, I've hit the jackpot. That is exactly what I'm interested in. And then that was also part of the beginning of my interest in formally, in a scholarly way, but also an intellectual and spiritual way, figuring out how it is that the Catholic faith integrates with work. Because I work at a very secular institution. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that, but, you know, there are ways. And so I had to figure that out for myself. And this book is very much a sort of outgrowth of what I discovered, but it ended up being something that for me was something I really, really wish I had maybe 15, 20 years ago as I was thinking about this more. So it's been a really, really good trip for me.
Really quick, before I ask my next question, what is a third order Franciscan and what exactly are you talking about? I thought anyone that's a Franciscan is celibate, as a monk.
No, there are third orders, and third orders are actually lay orders because the first order is the priesthood. The second order would be consecrated religious. The third order is lay spiritual members of an order. And so just looking at the Oblates of St. Benedict, that's a third order because we are lay people who, to the greatest extent of our ability in our walks of life, apply the rule of St. Benedict in our life as a framework for following Christ.
What is, in brief summary, the framework of St. Benedict?
Ooh, well, St. Benedict wrote what is known as the oldest monastic rule in Western civilization. He wrote it sometime around the end of the 6th century. It is based on something called the Rule of the Master, which was another monastic rule, and I say that very loosely because it wasn't for like a whole sort of community that was meant to be developed. And so St. Benedict's rule has 76 chapters, and they're all related to how the monks would live together and pray together and contribute to life on earth through focus on work and their prayer. Mm-hmm. And there are some particular values that the Benedictine spirituality or the Benedictine communities uphold. First is humility, but there's also hospitality, stability, and several others. And it's really, to me, been wonderful to be able to look at those in detail and reflect them back on my life, which has calmed me interiorly in a lot of ways, as I needed to have more focus. And it's really part of that way when we say, let go and let God. This was a way to help me channel that in a way that was helpful to me.
I see. Now, I'm very excited to be talking about faith and work, as most of us who are Catholics are also workers. I'm very excited to talk about that. However, I want to get to know you a little bit, and you mentioned that you have a serious interest in faith and work. It's a fitting thing to write books on, the thing that you're very interested in, but it's a peculiar thing that you're interested in. You grew up faithful in Elk Grove Village, Illinois, population 32,000, hardly a village. Tell me a little bit about your faith journey and how it modeled you, or how it molded you, I mean, and how it made you interested. Why are you interested in faith and work?
Wow. My entire life story. Condensed into 2 minutes. Well, I'll see what I can do. Both my parents were born and raised Catholic, and they and my brother and I just had one brother, and we always attended church. We always went to holy days. My brother and I were enrolled in CCD programs. And then, like a lot of people, as I got into college, I started thinking, well, you know, I'm kind of on my own here. Maybe I don't want to go to church. So my freshman year, I was fortunate to have a roommate that was Catholic, and the college I went to my freshman year, and just my freshman year, did a really nice job of pairing up people as roommates. And so that my being Catholic and my roommate being Catholic were one of the criteria that came together so that we could be paired up to live together. Anyway, he kept going to church, and I stopped going, and I kind of felt stupid about it. Yes, guilty. But I, after I don't know how many weeks, it really doesn't matter, I decided, you know, I'm not doing myself any favors by not going. I need to go. So I started going. And it turned out to be a really good experience, and I kept going ever since. But I never really had so much of a deep engagement in the faith. I felt like I was doing well. My faith formation through CCD was very much post-Vatican II, and I don't remember much of it. And I certainly don't remember much systematically taught to me about principles of the faith. I do have vague memories of very simple concepts like the Trinity and like the sacraments and things like that. But I really, as I look back on it, don't think that my Catholic education back in the 70s worked out so well in my favor, so that when I went to college, I was like, yeah, whatever. And that did change. And I went to a junior college for my sophomore year. Then I transferred to Illinois State. And Illinois State is a Newman Center. And there were one of my room, I had a roommate in my junior year, my senior year, who was also Catholic. And we started going to the Newman Center pretty regularly. And I ended up getting involved in the Newman Center group, which was very nice. And then my wife that I met also at Illinois State, she was Catholic, and that worked out really, really great, obviously. And then as we've grown together after we were married in 1990, and then we had kids, I started thinking more and more about the need for me to help them learn in the faith. And so we did enroll them in CCD program at our church where we were at the time. That would have been in Wisconsin. Then we moved from Wisconsin to here in Illinois, and our sons finished their religious formation. They were both confirmed as Catholics. And along the way, I'm working at ISU, and I had a conversation with a colleague of mine, and it started making me think about, geez, what is the intersection? Is just a question that simple. What is the intersection of the Catholic faith and my career? How do I do it? There's got to be answers, and they got to be right in front of my face. And so I started turning to some of the, I think, most influential books that I could find. The very first one that I read was Venerable Fulton Sheen's book, Peace of Soul. And the reason why I chose that one is because my parents had a copy of it, and I always saw it, and I understood who Fulton Sheen was, and I thought, wow, bishops and priests can write books? What? Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, you know, mom and dad had it, so maybe I should take a look at it. So I took it, I read it. I was shocked and amazed and uplifted with what I could do. And the one idea that pretty much came out of that book for me was the quest for holiness. And so I started looking for more Catholic books about attaining holiness, a holy life, and things like that. And I had only heard a little bit about Thomas Merton. And then I found his book, Life and Holiness. And I thought, that sounds like something I should read. And oh boy, that one was good, because that one, the whole book is about the potential of becoming holy and how to realize that potential.
So you just randomly became interested in the question of what is the intersection of faith and work?
Well,
just while working at ISU?
Well, I wouldn't say randomly. You know, God is involved in this.
Sure.
And, you know, there were certain things that were percolating in my heart, mind, and soul that were making connections. And as it all started to crystallize, I found the need to ask these questions. And then seek answers. And one of the big things that I discovered, I had no idea this existed. There is an enormous lake, not just some little puddle, but an enormous lake of scholarship about religion and spirituality in a workplace. And once I started looking into it, and I brought this, and like everybody can see this on the radio.
Right. A lot of papers here.
I have a 3-inch, 3-ring binder loaded with multiple paged copies of articles because I need to work on paper. I don't like to read on screen evil things to my eyes. Mm-hmm. So I have this enormous amount of research that I found during a sabbatical that I took in the fall of 2019. But I had already found stuff before that, for a few years before that, just kind of casually. But this sabbatical really gave me an opportunity to focus. And I have a bunch of books at home, too, to go along with these. So that's the material that I needed to help me answer the question from an academic point of view, but also from a faithful point of view. And so there's a good amount of scholarship and other sources that I found specifically about business and the Catholic faith. Mm-hmm.
Now, we're going to have to take a quick break here in just one second, but when we get back, I want to ask you a bit of a loaded question. That is, why is work important? Do we need to work? I mean, a lot of people are being replaced with AI, artificial intelligence, robots, et cetera, et cetera. Do we need to work? What's the value in it? We'll get to that question in just one moment, but first, here are a few words from our beloved sponsors. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Catholic Conversations on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Hi, this is Kathy
and Ann
from Catholic Spirit Radio. We are looking for folks who would love to volunteer with us during our fundraisers and various other station events and tasks throughout the year.
We really need volunteers in the DeKalb, Sycamore, Morris, Joliet, and Lincoln areas, as well as Bloomington Normal.
If you have a few extra hours or more a month, put them to use for the Lord.
We would love to add your name to our Catholic Spirit Radio volunteer list. Contact us at office@catholicspiritradio.org.
Am I pregnant? This is often the first question a woman needs answered when she comes to the Pregnancy Resource Center. What now is the second question. Living Alternatives Pregnancy Resource Center is committed to providing excellent care, compassionate support, and honest information to those facing pregnancy decisions through authentic relationships that display grace, honor life, and foster community. Living Alternatives needs your help to encourage and support women in Bloomington Normal. Make your donation or find out more ways to get involved at pregnancyresourcecenter.org.
Hey, this is Father Mitch Pacwa, host of Open Line Wednesday. For me, Catholic radio is a chance to speak and hear our Catholic doctrine, consider it, think about it, apply it to everyday life, and be blatantly in the public with it. And I am so thankful to you for being an important part of the Lord's plan. By participating and listening, invite others to listen and hear Open Line.
Help seniors remain independent. Faith in Action is a nonprofit providing transportation for people over 60 to medical appointments and grocery stores. Become a Faith in Action driver in the extended Bloomington Normal area, 309-827-7780.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Catholic Conversations on Catholic Spirit Radio. I'm your host, Paul Garcia, and I am speaking with Dr. Pete Smoody, the author of books like Faithful Careers, Integrating the Catholic Faith and Work, and he's a professor and associate director of the School of Communication at Illinois State University. So, Dr. Pete, why is work important in the first place? Do we really need to work? What's it do for us anyway? We're all going to be replaced in a few years by artificial intelligence, right?
No. One of the most beautiful things is that when you read Genesis, you see that God ordained work from the beginning, that Adam and Eve were created as caretakers of the Garden of Eden. Work was ordained by God. We, you know, the whole of human history since then, we still work in the Lord's vineyard. One of my favorite things that Pope Benedict XVI said on the day he was elected Pope was that he's a humble worker in the Lord's vineyard. And that has always stuck with me because I thought that is perfect. And that's the way I think as many of us as possible can think of it, because we are workers in the Lord's vineyard. The Lord's vineyard is very, very vast. We have lots of things that we do. If you think about just a vineyard either today and then compare it to vineyards back in Christ's time and even before Christ's time, vineyards always had multiple jobs. Vineyards today probably have more jobs when you think about everything from cultivating the soil to selling and distributing the product, the final product, you know, and everything happens in between. So just as vineyard operations have expanded over years, I mean, literal vineyard operations, the world's vineyard, God's creation has expanded, and God has given us each talents and gifts that he wants us to apply. And in some ways, those talents and gifts may be not as apparent at the moment as they will be at some other time. That's where discernment comes in. We have to prayerfully look at what we feel we want to be and do versus what we think God is calling us to be and do with those talents and gifts. So when it comes to technological change, we are using God's resources in the vineyard to take care of the vineyard for what it is. And we're trusted to do the right things with it. And, you know, if just looking at Christ's teaching, he gives us the framework for making judgments about good and bad, just and unjust, and things like that, what is right and wrong. And we can apply those things to what it is that we do in our careers. And if we feel that there is something that's not right at work, we can use those observations about what's not working, guide our thinking about it through the tools that Christ has given us, like the Beatitudes and the works of the Holy Spirit, but also the Ten Commandments, which I know came from Moses, but Christ didn't come to abolish the law of Moses. He came to realize it. And then he added to it. And that addition of love God and love your neighbor is really super important. If we can just act out of love in what it is that we do, that can guide our decision-making in so many things, our discernment about so many things. And so if we're confronted by matters of technological change, like AI seems to be doing, you know, for as much as new change is scary, there's also hope. And hope is a very important theological value that we need to lean on so that we can make sure that what it is that we're able to do with it, we can do it in the right ways, not the wrong ways. Mm-hmm. We can use it justly and not unjustly. But really important in all this is not just for ourselves, but this is for others. So as we think about how it is that we do what we do, we're not just doing it for ourselves. We're doing it for others so that ultimately we can give glory to God for what it is that we are and what it is that we do.
Absolutely. Something you touched on there was discernment of what you want to do as a career. And Mike Rowe, host of the hit show on Discovery Channel, Dirty Jobs, mm-hmm. has went semi-viral for his input on the whole do what you love, follow your passions idea about how to pick a career. And he says, no, don't do that. That's dumb. Because one, you're going to wind up disliking your job at some point anyway. Do something that's good, that's useful to people, that can make you money. And he gave this story about a man who did septic tank cleaning or something. And he said, this man was embarrassed at first, but as he worked more and more and he grew his business, he became passionate about cleaning up other people's you-know-what. And so he says that, and then you have people like Jordan Peterson saying, don't follow your passions. First of all, I've talked to exorcists, and they say your emotions are susceptible to mm-hmm. guidance from Satan himself. So don't always follow your emotions. Like, right. Oh, I need to do this. I love this. This is my passion. Your passions can be evil. But anyway, Jordan Peterson talks about this, and he says, just pick one thing and try to do as well as you can at that one thing as you possibly can. And when it comes to a career, because young men are super distressed about what they do as a career, is this the right path? He says, pick one thing, janitor, plumber. He loves plumbers. He says, just try to be the best plumber you can possibly be and watch what happens. Mm-hmm. Now, this is, some people sell their souls in a way when they become sales managers, salespeople, and they just give everything to their work. And this is a hard balance. How do you, Dr. Pete Smoody, how do you recommend people go about choosing their career, discerning their career? Are there a few questions they can ask themselves? Are there certain criteria that that choice must meet? How does one choose?
I must cogitate on that.
Yeah.
I'll be right back. Sure. What I really think is that we respond to things at a gut level, and there truly is nothing wrong with that. Our gut level responses are usually in tune with things that we intellectually have already processed, presumably for the good, because just at least looking at self-interest. But you really have to be careful about just thinking with your gut, because it could be gas. And it's important for people to recognize, if they're feeling something, why am I feeling it this way? And I've felt this myself many times in my career. My career is like 36 years long, so I'm try to have some experience here. But, you know, some of that is that they have a job, for example, or you are in, for students that are in college, they're in a class and they say, oh, I got to go through this class, it's required, blah, blah, blah. So, but the thing is that you may have this gut level response that you don't like something, but many times people don't think about why they're responding. They think about the response and they dwell on that response, and what they want is a solution. This is the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence approach. It's like, oh, if I just go over here, things will be great. Well, you know, if you think the grass is greener on the other side, you go there, it turns out to be astroturf. You've blown it, because you may have had a perfectly fine pasture that you were in before. And so this is, you know, some thinking about why discernment is so important. And yeah, discernment takes time. We as a culture have become more and more impatient about things. And that's really a detriment, because if we constantly are working on impulse, we constantly need instant gratification and nothing goes fast enough. Oh my gosh, we're not giving ourselves enough credit for being the sort of images of God that God created us, but we're not being good workers in the Lord's vineyard so that we can give back to him. So it starts to become a very personal sort of realization that's necessary. So first of all, I would say, and this is right off the top of my head, the first thing you have to do is not ask, what is this feeling, but why do I have this feeling that I need to go this way or go that way? And then you have to probe why very deeply. You do it intellectually, you do it emotionally, and you do it spiritually. Emotionally, as you said, is a really easy spot for Satan and his minions to get in there, because that gut level, it's, you know, so easy to tinker with. But that's why we have the intellect, and that's why we have the spirit, our souls. And so we have to engage all three. And to the extent that the emotions or the intellect or the spirit, any one or all of them have the greatest pull toward what's good, follow that. But you can only do that if you really reflect on it. And you have to pay attention to certain signs. So this is point number two. What signs do you feel are driving you toward a particular decision? Then you have to ask the question, why would those signs be pointing me that way? And if we can figure out those things, we can proceed along the next route. All right, if I'm able to figure out from these signs a particular direction that I think I really should go, what are the positives, the negatives of going that way versus any other way? And life is not an either or, yes and no kind of thing. It's a both and. And a lot of times we're confronted by multiple options at once. And I'm just not just talking about job offers. Sometimes if you're lucky, you might get two, maybe three job offers all at the same time. You're like, oh, what do I do? This, you know, that's a fun position to be in, but it still takes just as much discernment. So when we have the opportunity to look at multiple options, we seriously have to consider all of them, not which one feels good, because remember, it still could be gas. Mm. So during all this discernment, if we offer it up to God and ask more for God's guidance, God will give us guidance. We can even call upon certain saints. I always like to ask Saint Joseph, the patron of workers, for that kind of help. And there are other saints that are patrons of particular professions that we could ask for. In the field of public relations, for example, Saint Bernardine of Siena is the patron of public relations, also advertising. Mm-hmm. And slight digression, you know, in the spring semester, we have St. Patrick's Day. And sometime around there, you know, and the students like to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. I like to say, hey, you know, by the way, there's a patron saint for public relations. Did you know that?
Are you allowed to say that at ISU?
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, you know, and that's actually one of the great things about being at a university is that we can discuss openly lots of different things, provided that we do it in civil ways. Mm. But that's a whole nother conversation.
Absolutely it is, yeah.
Yeah, and so I hope I'm getting at the answer to your question, because it's kind of complicated, but it's actually in a lot of ways pretty straightforward, intuitive, because you think about, why am I feeling a certain way that I want to go in my life? And then from that, what are the signs that I should be going a different way? And then what are those signs pointing to? Is there anything in particular? And then from those particulars, what are the positives and the negatives? And then asking for divine guidance in this as well. And even talking to your priest or consecrated religious people that you find.
And you know, something that I think that I believe you might agree with is sit down and write it out.
Yeah.
I always think that your mind can be a jumbled mess and it can only really take form in a way that you can understand once you put it down on paper. Once you force your abstract thoughts to be concentrated into words on paper, mm-hmm. I really think that's beautifully helpful.
One of the things that I learned while I was in my doctoral studies was that it was a formula that says, how do I know what I think until I see what I say? And that was from Dr. Carl Weick at the University of Michigan.
Can you say that again? Yeah. That's good.
How do I know what I think until I see what I say? Mm-hmm. And I've always thought that was so important. And that was always, to me, something that's important in doing any kind of writing that I do now. Because I do a lot of cogitation about the work that I have to do as an academic, but also as a regular person in the community when I have things to write about, or even my own writing to myself or my prayer journal or whatever. But when you think about it, and it just sounds brilliant in your head, but then you got to put it down. And then when you start putting it down, you're like, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right.
Right.
And you know, you're playing with it some more, and then you start to make it make some good form. And then it takes a lot of revision, and the writing process is, again, another whole topic we could talk about later.
Absolutely. Some of the best quotes of all time are things that started off like a book, mm-hmm. and then they're boiled down into a few pages and a paragraph, and then you just keep whittling it down until it's in the absolute purest form, and you have pure gold, and it's one quote, such as, how do I know what I think until I see what I say?
Well, I like to think that my book, Faithful Careers, the one nugget that I have is actually its thesis statement, which is, it is not incompatible to be religious and focused on your career.
Absolutely. I like that a lot. I have a few more good questions. We're going to talk about something really juicy when we come back, and that is money, a natural byproduct of work, how to manage that, easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get to heaven. We've all heard it. What do you think about it? We will find out here in just one moment. But first, here are a few words from our beloved sponsors.
You're listening to Catholic Conversations on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Catholic Spirit Radio wishes Happy Father's Day to all of our listeners who are fathers, godfathers, grandpas, and uncles. We appreciate your love and your positive example.
Hi, this is Kathy
and Ann
from Catholic Spirit Radio. We are looking for folks who would love to volunteer with us during our fundraisers and various other station events and tasks throughout the year.
We really need volunteers in the DeKalb, Sycamore, Morris, Joliet, and Lincoln areas, as well as Bloomington Normal.
If you have a few extra hours or more a month, put them to use for the Lord.
We would love to add your name to our Catholic Spirit Radio volunteer list. Contact us at office@catholicspiritradio.org.
Hey, this is Father Mitch Pacwa, host of Open Line Wednesday. For me, Catholic Radio is a chance to speak and hear our Catholic doctrine, consider it, think about it, apply it to everyday life, and be blatantly in the public with it. And I am so thankful to you for being an important part of the Lord's plan by participating and listening. Invite others to listen and hear Open Line.
Help seniors remain independent. Faith in Action is a nonprofit providing transportation for people over 60 to medical appointments and grocery stores. Become a Faith in Action driver in the extended Bloomington Normal area, 309-827-7780.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Catholic Conversations on Catholic Spirit Radio. I'm your host, Paul Garcia. I'm here today with Dr. Pete Smoody. He is a professor and associate director of the School of Communication at Illinois State University and the author of the book, Faithful Careers, Integrating the Catholic Faith and Work, as well as seven other books. Dr. Pete, I want to ask you about something very important. When we're talking faith, we're talking Catholicism, we're talking work, we got to talk a little bit about money. Is it wrong to be motivated to make money, to be motivated by money as a faithful Catholic? I mean, what if you're doing good stuff with that money? Mm-hmm. But then we hear the famous Bible verse, it's easier for a camel to fit through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get to heaven. Well, that was a while back, granted. But yeah. What do you think of all that? How do we square it? What kind of relationship should Catholics have with money and their career?
Well, St. Augustine pointed out that there are four avenues that can lead to sin if you pursue them for their own ends: wealth, power, pleasure, and prestige.
Interesting. So it could just be the owning the, well, just having the money because people like to have the money, the power, people like being able to tell people what to do, the pleasure, it could be sexual pleasure as well as other pleasures, and the prestige of being in the highest seat at the meeting. Yeah. Et cetera, et cetera. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so if we, just dealing specifically with your question when it comes to wealth, there is nothing wrong with pursuing wealth, provided that you're doing it as a way to give glory to God. That the wealth you acquire, remember, wealth is not just money. If you're able to obtain wealth, it's probably because you're doing well with the gifts and the talents the Lord has given you. And in return, you are giving glory to God for these things. And like the Bible says, like Christ even talks about, is that give that to the community. And I'm thinking now of the rich young man who came to Christ and said, I've done everything. I've followed all the rules. What more can I do? And Christ says, well, sell your stuff and then follow me. And he walked away rejected. And the reason why he walked away rejected is because he was pursuing wealth at a very high level of importance. Yes, he was also spiritually involved, but he didn't want to give it up. And it's important to recognize that the gifts and talents that God gives us, we should use for our own benefit, but also use it for the benefit of others and for God, primarily to give thanks to God because we're giving back we're making a return on his investment.
So give me some concrete examples, some actionable examples, and some real life ones. of what it looks like. How do we give glory to God if we are so blessed as to make a lot of money with our career that we're utilizing our God-given talents for? How do we honor God, give glory to God with our money?
Well, just a couple of examples that I know of is that there are physicians, for example, who are very, very successful, and they live modestly, they live humbly, and they also have active families. They're active in their parish, and they're giving glory to God through it is what it is that they do as physicians, perhaps even as surgeons, things like that. So, you know, for myself, as another example, God has given me talents in cogitation. but truly, talents in cogitation, intellectual pursuit of things, but also in helping others understand the stuff that they want to learn about. He's given me experiences in the field of communication and in particular public relations, all of which has been helpful to me in my teaching and my research. And so what I really try to do in my work, and he'll let me know if I was successful or not, is to enable others to do well with it. And to the extent, because I'm not shy about telling students or anyone others about my being Catholic and that I love it, and that I'm willing to talk to them about it. And I'll disclose that to my students. I don't make a big deal out of it. See, that's the other thing. I just, this is me, la, la, la. And I've had, I've had students that have said, I am so glad you said that you're Catholic, because I've always wondered about professors and things. And so it actually works out really nice. And I've had some really wonderful conversations with some of my students, which is still related to my point, which is that the talents and skills that I've been given, I can pay that forward, I guess. But really paying a return on the investment to God for giving me these things that I'm able to do with students and even peers for that matter.
Well, let me ask you a more pointed question then. How do you spend your money? How does someone who wants to honor God and give glory to God with their finances, how do they spend it?
Well, there's a lot of different ways. One of the things that I particularly do is I look very specifically for worthwhile, I suppose, humanitarian or philanthropic things. And I first turn to Catholic-based organizations. The Knights of Columbus, I really like its program for Newman Centers. There are Catholic Relief Services is another one. And then there's pro-life organizations that are set up in different places as well, just like Birthright here in Bloomington and elsewhere. So I like to be able to give some of my money to these areas in addition to the parish where I'm
So member. If you make a lot of money, if you make money, it's a good idea to, if you want to give glory to God as you should, to donate to Catholic charities, to good Catholic organizations that are doing good things, to empower people who are doing good things to do those very good things that God loves. It seems simple enough. Just subsidize holy things, and that's pretty good. I know I subscribe to the Dave Ramsey finance type of thinking, you know, get an emergency fund, start the debt snowball, right? It's like have a little, pay off your small debts, work your way up, have a little emergency fund, and eventually you'll pay off your mortgage and then you're good to go. But the risk with that, even this conservative financial mindset, is you can risk wanting to hold on to as much money as you can for emergency purposes, you know, but then you're just like, I'm not going to give any money to anybody because I might need it one day, which isn't humble, which is what you meant. Yeah. What you said earlier is a good thing to be with your finances. And
we also have to realize, too, that this is all dependent on people's life situations. Mm-hmm. So someone who's making a very high salary is very, and the way that they live is going to be different from somebody who's making minimum wage or less. And so there's some very different contributions that people can make for the good, for God's kingdom, bringing God's kingdom to earth and taking care of the vineyard.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So a lot of it can get down to people being able to make actionable contributions. So they get involved as volunteers, and it doesn't have to be for very long either, but it's something, right? So we do with the best we can with our means. We live within our means. Mm-hmm. And if we think about the other three elements that St. Augustine said can lead to sin, prestige is, you know, people are just looking constantly for self-affirmation. I should say external, they have an a high self, I got too many words bouncing around my head at once. They have a very high need for external validation.
Is that cars and clothes and stuff?
No, that's, when we're talking about prestige, we're talking about attention. We're talking about awards. Okay. We're talking about how many likes are you getting on Facebook or Instagram, you know, all these kinds of stuff. And like, you know, this is taking the eye off the ball. These are all distractions, and the devil loves them. The devil is great at giving us these distractions. Oh, it's just a couple of minutes on, and it turns out to be 2 hours that you're looking at social media. So we have to be really, really careful of these things. Pleasure is that it could be anything that's flesh related, right? So things that will give us some kind of response that helps us just feel good. And, you know, that could range from anything like eating ice cream on a deep repetitive basis to having a illicit drug habit to workaholism. You know, there's so many different forms. And then power is just people wanting to have power, as if power is something to possess. Power is actually very interesting. It's based on relationships. Mm-hmm. People who are in an organization, let's say, or even in society, people at different levels of an organization confer power on people at other levels of the organization. It's not something you possess like a toaster. It is something that others confer onto you. And people work really, really hard to have power conferred upon them so that they seem powerful. And my goodness, we could mine our country's politics for this kind of behavior very simply. Yes. And that is yet again, a whole nother topic.
Absolutely it is.
The whole thing that we have to be aware of in all of these things, wealth, power, pleasure, and prestige, is that these things can lead to addictions of different kinds. And they're not addictions like to alcohol or to drugs or to work or, you know, whatever. These are addictions to things that take us away from God. And that's what the devil wants. And we have to be always on guard for that so that we can be the kinds of people that God meant us to be and make good on the investments he's made on us through his gifts and talents and make the vineyard even better.
Speaking of going on to other topics, I have you for just a few more minutes here. I'd like to ask a very important question. Sure. A lot of us, a lot of Catholics that we know say that we just don't have time for prayer. I know Archbishop Bishop Fulton Sheen always said that if you don't have 10 minutes for prayer in the morning, make an hour. So he's basically saying that you make the time for prayer. How do we make time for prayer in the workplace, though? And what might that look like?
Prayer has to be something we actively do. In the workplace, you can pray as much as you want, any time that you want. One of my favorite ways to think about it is if I have a meeting and I got like 3 minutes before I have to be in that room, I can take 30 seconds and say a very simple prayer, asking for God's help, also thanking him for giving me the opportunity to be in the position I am, to work with these people, and to try to work on whatever the thing is that we're all working on. I like to pray between my parking spot and my building where I work. I'll often be praying in the car because it's usually just me in the car. Or if I'm riding my bike to work, that's a little more difficult. I don't know why, but I do these prayers during the day. I also set an alarm on my phone for noon, so I say the Angelus every day at noon. Sometimes it gets, I have to say, sorry, you know, I'm in the middle of this thing, or I just don't even pay attention to the alarm and I'm still working. But it prayer is not necessarily something we have to have scheduled. I hate to say it this way, but it's true. Just do it. And it doesn't have to be complicated. It can be as simple as saying, God, I love you. God, thank you for this day. I give my day to you. You know, it's part of a relationship just like we have with anyone. And that is the single most important thing that we can do is to continue to cultivate that relationship with God on a prayerful basis, but also on our actions during the day as we show Christ through who we are and look for Christ in others.
Absolutely. So what, besides the short little prayers, do you pray any prayers to Saint Joseph or anything like that during the day?
I have a prayer routine which begins with my dog waking me up. And then I have what I call coffee time with God, because I have coffee. And one of my favorite things that Fulton Sheen said is that don't go into holy hour until you've had a cup of coffee.
That's a good quote. Who would have thought?
I can't remember what book it's in, but it's just so funny and so practical. Well, I have actually brought coffee time to me. Every day, I pray the Liturgy of the Hours in the morning. And before and after it, I have personal prayer time. It's and by prayer, a lot of it is just sitting there and being quiet. So much of any relationship is listening. We don't have to be talking all the time. God wants to tell us things, and if we're talking, we will hear it. So
that's right. So, that's absolutely right.
So it to me, much of my prayer time is just being quiet, and my dog's across from me on the floor snoring. But at least that's contentment, and that's what I want. So these kinds of habits I've created for myself, and my wife and I pray Liturgy Hours in the evening. And to the extent that this matters, I'm in the formation program for the diaconate in the Peoria Diocese in class 12. And we completed our first year, and we've been learning just tons and tons about prayer and life with Christ and God and all these other dimensions, which again is another conversation for a whole nother time. But that I bring that experience up because blending together with my Benedictine spirituality, my being an oblate of Saint Benedict and formation for the diaconate has really intensified what I feel I wanted intensified when I was looking for integration in my life and work. Other people can do it in other ways. This is just the way I'm doing it. But the important thing is to look for ways to integrate the Catholic faith and work, because God ordained work. Work is good. God wouldn't have ordained work unless it was good. He wants us to be good workers. And we need to have our relationship with God, and we can cultivate that during the day in the work that we do. And that's really a lot of the principles behind why I wrote the book that I did and why I try to do what I do the way that I do it, so that I can give glory to God in some way.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm at least shooting for purgatory. I really want to, get, straight into heaven. I'm striving to be a saint, and I suck at it, but I keep working at it, as all of us do. That's all we can do, is just we persevere, we're patient, and we can do it.
A saint is one who keeps trying. Mm-hmm. And that book is Faithful Careers, Integrating the Catholic Faith and Work. That was Dr. Pete Smoody. Pete, we might have to do this a whole nother time, because we are out of time. today, but I truly appreciate the time that you've given me today. We've talked about some very important things. I think the listeners will really appreciate this. And is there any quick things you'd like to say before we go ahead and get off the air?
I just am very thankful to God that I'm able to be and to do what I can do. And I'm especially thankful that this experience here with you may be useful to others, because ultimately it's not just about any of us individually, but it's all of us together trying to get into heaven, and the degree to which we can do that for each other. I hope this helps.
Absolutely. Well, I surely enjoyed this conversation. I know others will too. And thank you everyone who's listened to this conversation today on Catholic Spirit Radio. Until next week, God bless and have a great week.
You've been listening to Catholic Conversations. Download our podcasts at CatholicSpiritRadio.com.